So
I'm get the action going.
Yeah, you gotta get the happy hands
going.
Hands. So yeah, practice. Happy hands, happy hands, happy hands. Okay, now we're back after that fun of doing GRM hands for 4 or 5 hours. It's much later in the day, but it's no darker, amazingly enough. So
I'm all practiced now.
I'm all worn out, my hands are. So let's get on with the story. So Tony has proposed a wonderful new DRM and it's open source. And hooray!
DRM hands now.
Okay.
DRM. Okay,
that was worth it. Yeah, it was worth all the hours of practice. Anyway, so the central idea is to assign rights to users, not devices, so that your rights will essentially travel around with you and you can use or listen to your music on a multitude of devices. However, you have to register, or the devices and the manufacturers have to register them with some fuzzy group which hasn't been really created yet, and there's no idea of who's controlling this group or anything. Just Sun says, yeah, we're setting up in a couple of weeks. It's coming. So, and still GRM, which I love this quote by Cory Doctorow, which says, I wish Sun would figure out a way to let me do less with my musical movies, which really is what Sun have done here. They're just helping.
Very nice of them.
Yeah, very nice of them to create yet another way to stop people from using music and movies in the way they want to. Because one really bad thing in this is it's not going to anyway force people to allow fair use. While in the use scenarios document, it says the fair use mechanism is there. It's optional for rights holders. So they're not forced to actually kind of put in with any of their media, you know,
so what does that
rules
mean?
The state how you can make fair use of this. So there's no way of saying, you know, within like a MP3 file that within the license you get with it that says it's okay to use this for educational purposes. It's okay, you know, to use it for certain ways, you know, that do not breach the copyright of the owner. And obviously, copyright holders are just going to say any use that is, you know, other than paying us and use it on one device of our choosing is wrong, and we will sue you for it. We don't care if the little kids don't know anything about music. We don't care. Give us our money. So, not great, not cool. BFF think it stinks. And I'd have to agree, it's still DRM. It's still stuff that will stop you from making fair use of, you know, stuff, you know, that you want to listen to on your own device, on your own choosing, when you want, rather than some guy that
which you can do right now.
Which we do right now.
But some wants to change that.
But some wants to essentially help iTunes and Apple, Microsoft and all the rest of them, and all the big record companies and the MIA from listening to stuff, you know, you created or anyone else has created.
What's going to happen with the France thing now?
It might work for France because it's an open source DRM, which actually, there you go. This could be like someone thinking of that and going, oh, here's a DRM scheme which actually works in France. Because the whole thing about France was that Apple's iTunes wouldn't work on other players, wasn't it?
Right, yeah.
It wouldn't work on other devices. It has to be open so that people could listen to it any way they wanted. So something might be a way like that. I mean, I can certainly see why they're going for this, because like it'll certainly bring in like other manufacturers who make rivals to iPods and, you know, online record stores which don't want to go buy iTunes because like they're getting really annoyed with iTunes kind of monopoly on this.
Yeah.
So like, I mean, maybe the record companies
break the hold this iTunes.
Yeah.
And
I think it's like someone is like going, we'll supply the DRM and the rest of the bills.
But it's not like Apple are gonna buy into this, are they?
No, it's meant to be. They're trying to get it to be a standard, so that it'll be like iTunes will kind of have to maybe do a nod twist that you can convert or some shit like that. But I think like you're still going to have people with their iPods who already have a significant music connection, who they have to buy another iPod because it won't play on anything else. So, I mean, you bought one iPod,
yeah.
Your iPod for life. Hooray! Lucky you! Lucky, lucky you! Aren't you feeling good now? So you're stuck with iPods for life, no matter how good, bad, or shitty they get, or how much onerous DRM they put on it, you're stuck with Apple and iTunes for life. Don't you feel good? Yeah, it's fantastic. So, it's DRM. It sucks. DRM! So, moving on. Next story is,
I didn't read much about this.
You don't have a prescription, do you?
No.
I've had therapy 2020. I don't know.
Congratulations.
I hope, anyway. I can see you, anyway. I can see you. See you watching. I can see you, Garrett, watching. Get back to work! Anyway.
Thank you, Robbie.
This is
the best guy.
Oh yeah, I think he's thumbs up and he's not battering the keyboard going, "You're ruining my show! What have you done?" Sorry, pal. Apologies, guys. It's my show now! Yeah. So,
The point of that was,
I got to wallow in my own, joy of power and control. Anyway. Our next story regards laser eye surgery at home. Do it yourself. DIY surgery. Yeah. So, you've got the books, you've done the plumbing, you've made your house. What next? Well, it's time to speck about with your eyes. Become a surgeon in like 4 or 5 easy steps. Woo! So, for $19.99, you can buy this laser eye surgery kit, which allow you to fix your eyes! Laser surgery at home!
That is amazing.
It's amazing.
Where can I buy one?
Where can I buy one? My eyes are perfect, but I want to get better.
You can do it on other people.
Exactly. So,
your dog.
Each one is sent out to you specifically for the prescription.
Your eyes
prescription. But I'm sure you could just order one for every single kind of prescription. There's probably hundreds, but it's possible.
So what happens if you do it on someone who's not on the wrong prescription?
That could be ugly. Be nasty. So actually, it might work even if it's someone. Well, I'll go briefly into the details. Okay, it was Basic at Home. It was founded in 2004 by Dr. Emir Camden, MD, PhD, who is apparently one of the leading people in his field, according to the Lazy website. So I'll take your word for it on that one. So, the key to the system is the Scalpel. Scalpel.
I like it.
Catchy. Oh no, Jessica's gone away again.
Oh dear.
Oh, she's back. Anyway, she doesn't need eye surgery. I hope. Scanning, adjusting laparoscopy personal laser. Ooh, your own laser in the comfort of your own home. So, it contains two lasers. The first one cuts a small flap in the cornea of your eye, and then the second laser vaporizes a tiny section of the lens without damaging the surrounding tissue.
You hope.
Yay.
Yay! So the claim is that it's 100% safe. Woo! Better than all the other home surgery kits. Heart surgery in 20 minutes. Fantastic. So, 100% safe. I have any doubts. Anything that claims to be 100% safe, I have any doubts. Just for the basic reason that, someone in the manufacturing could have screwed up. Occasional duds go out. We've all bought electronics which we expected to work perfectly. Didn't.
So slightly more at stake.
Slightly more at stake here. Plus, think about it. You normally get eye surgery, it's carried out by a professional who spends many years in school and in a hospital learning how to do this stuff and is, trained and is able to deal with the unexpected. Rather than you, who is probably a tick for buying this thing in the first place and also blind. So you're thick and stupid.
So you can't read the instructions.
You can't, you can't read the instructions either. So, you think you're blind and you think you can do surgery on your eyes. Who would I trust? So,
it's a bit of a jump, really, from thousands of dollars and trained professionals to do it in your own home.
Yeah.
They're not like do the intermediate one, like your local GP or something.
Who knows? But, like, one thing I noticed is that I went quickly, did a quick search on LASIK laser eye surgery risks, and the first link was the US Federal Drug and whatever, FDA. I can't remember the full name. Anyway, Food and Drug Administration. Yes, that's it. And they had a big, long list of the risks of laser surgery, and this would be laser surgery carried out by a professional doctor in a hospital.
Uh-huh.
And these included loss of vision. Loss of vision. Loss of vision.
No.
Loss of vision.
100% safe.
Loss of vision.
You're not.
As well as quite a number of other possible side effects. So, I've included the link in the wiki, so if you want to check that out. Laser surgery is not something you just undertake on a whim. And you really need to come to you really need to talk to your
doctor. Don't do it.
If you're considering buying a LASIK, I would at least talk to my doctor before buying this and attempting it on myself. Because it's crazy.
But let us know how you get on.
But let us know how you get on, if you can see the keyboard. Anyway, moving on to our next story.
Okay, so next story is about comment tracking, which is something I've wanted for a long time on the web. And there's a couple of things out there now. And one is called CoComment, and that's been out for a while. And what it does is you're going along, reading all your blog posts and whatever, and you want to comment on a blog, and you hit the button, and it, as well as posting to the blog, it also posts to their server, and then you can go back to their server and shut my hands now.
Yeah, you've good hands.
You can track all your comments and all the comments by other people, so it's cool. But the thing is, you can only track comments from posts you've commented on, and the only comments that show up are other people who use co-comments. So
it's kind of like getting a bit. Everyone needs to use it.
Everyone has to use it for it to be useful. Shit.
Yeah, that's kind of unfortunate.
So.
Still, it could be kind of handy, like, I mean,
if it's reminding you, like, what area you commented, but...
Yeah, it's supposed to be handy, like, if you got on the blogosphere, that, you know, people regularly comment, and, like, read blogs and stuff like that, it'd be pretty cool, but... Yeah, kind of getting around this whole, you know, everyone needs to use it for it to really be cool.
Yeah.
You know, rather than if it could somehow go, yeah, lots of people using it, or even a small few, and it somehow manages to grab all the other people's comments, you know.
So that's exactly what this other site does.
Which
is called Comments.
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 C-O, full stop, men. Men's.
M-M-E-N-T-S.
Yeah,
two M's. Very nice.
Men's.
And apparently that does all that. It's,
yeah.
It lets you track all your comments from any blog you read and find out other people's comments as well, no matter if they use it or not.
Oh, that would be
apparently cool. This is all hearsay.
Hearsay. Ah, so we need to check that out, but have a look, see?
Yeah, worth a look. And also, while we're on the comment I have to pimp comment casting, which is my cousin, Robin Blanford, and he's a final year student in DCU. And he's just done his dissertation on this web podcasting thing. And it allows you to leave comments on podcasts. And all you have to do is ring up a number. So if you have a podcast, go to commentcasting.whitesurgery.com and sign up. I think he wants new users.
Why?
I'm sure he does. Yeah.
So, yeah, actually, that's kind of cool because, like, the one time you want to make a comment on a podcast is when you're actually listening to it. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Rather than, like, waiting 2 hours to get to a computer.
Yeah.
Which is probably what you're doing because you're commuting from Dublin.
You're listening to your
box. Yeah, I'm from the box.
No way.
Really from the box.
So, yeah, you're going along and you ring up this number and you say...
That's pretty cool.
I liked... your last show on Technologics.
Yeah.
And here is my comment.
Ooh, it's then a there's a text thing as well, though.
No, they don't have one.
Don't have one, but it'd be nice
to
send it to that.
I'll tell.
You know.
Robin, if you're listening.
Text as well. Pretty cool. People like to text them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they can put in this. You are cool. With C-U-L. Cool.
Yeah, and you could do your next dissertation on transforming that into proper English.
Yeah. Take speak to English. We can only wish. Anyway.
What's next?
Moving on to our next story. Listen up, NSA, because we're talking crypto. You can't hear us. So, Phil Zimmermann, creator of PGP, has come up with a new piece of encryption software. It's actually taken him 10 years, called Zphone, which, amazingly enough, is used for phone conversations. It's used for voice over IP, and it will successfully, apparently, encrypt voice over IP phone calls. So you can now have Osama, you can now ring us up and go, hey dude, what's happening? So,
hey, I'm going for a visa interview on Tuesday. You're ruining my chances.
No, this is all me. I'll never get back into the United States. You have some hope. You're just...
Hello, I'm not a terrorist.
Yeah, no, Sam is a friend of mine. He doesn't like him at all. They don't get on. Anyway, so he uses the industry standard SIP protocol, which allows a number of different voice over IP clients to use the software. Wired actually, this is from Wired article, and they actually tried it out, and it took a bit of fiddling to get it going, but it's still only beta, so, I mean, there's still time for them to work out the kinks and, you know, make it all nice so that people can use it. However, its main rival, of course, is going to be Skype, which uses its own encryption, proprietary, closed-source encryption software to, you know, hide what you're talking about. And really, since it's closed-source and stuff, such, you don't really know how effective Skype is. So, Zphone has been submitted to the IETF to be an industry standard, and rumours are that it's actually good enough to beat the mountain of computers that are hiding under Fort Meade, decrypting all those phone calls that are passing around the place. So, if you want to have a conversation and you want to keep it quiet, you might want to consider using Zphone. You know, but thing is, whether people will widely use this or will it just stick with paranoid geeks and terror.
Well, the thing is, it's an open standard, so.
Yeah, I mean, it's open, so I mean, I think it's a good idea, it's one of those things which are said for security, like, make it open and let people attack it, because, you know, they're going to attack it anyway, so I mean, at least put it out in the open so everyone can see, and, you know, more people will look at it and find out whether it works or not. So, yeah, and, I mean, the guy came up with PGP,
so
he's got a good track record, and he's been working on this for 10 years, so... Ooh, could be good, I think, you know, plus, you know, I'd definitely give it a go anyway, but I don't have broadband, so I can't talk to anyone, and I've no friends! So, yeah, it's been pretty cool, but, like, you mentioned there just before the show, like, you know, with government, like, outlaw it, you know, because it's just too good.
Yeah, well, they do that kind of thing, don't they? I mean, there's some clause about not exporting technology that is...
Oh yeah,
too much encryption.
Yeah, they used to have that, I think.
They don't have it.
No, I don't think they have it anymore.
Okay.
When it started out first, the government, I think, pretty much outlawed any kind of development of encryption. They wanted to keep it essentially within the military.
Yeah.
But it slipped out. And, you know, it's kind of grown since then. And commercially, you essentially now have military security, which is closed source. No one really knows how it works.
Mm.
And you have commercial security, which... You know, a lot of it is open source, or any of, like, you know, the major security algorithms and encryption algorithms are all published and open to peer review and only become used after, you know, a lot of very smart people have been trying to break it for a long time, and then they go, yeah, that's probably pretty good, and it's up to it, because a lot of people have been trying to break it and haven't.
Makes sense.
You know, so it makes sense, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I think it'll be pretty cool, and definitely, if it's open source, you can have a look at it, and you can try and crack it, and good luck to you.
So, speaking of having friends, it's kind of useful for our next product as well.
Oh, yeah.
So this is Raya. This is RIYA.com. And it's another photo shit site. And it's a shite.
Photo shite.
And it's been hyped up a lot over the last few months. But it's just launched publicly a week or so ago, so you can go have a go right now and see what you think. Broadband is also necessary, so I can't do it either. So friends and broadband, there's two things you can go and do.
Two things you need for a successful life. Friends and broadband.
Right, so what it does for you, it recognizes all your friends in your photos. So you upload all your photos, it knows which are, what's a face and what's not, so it finds the faces.
Right.
And then you say, this guy's so-and-so, and this guy's Gareth, and
yeah,
this guy's whatever.
Francis.
And
then you can...
And then it learns from that, and after a while it can actually recognize them itself. So keep uploading photos, and it'll index them by who's in it, which is pretty cool.
Which is pretty cool. It's just adding metadata to the photos of who's in it. So that's going to be like pretty cool, because like more and more people have digital cameras. So I mean, if you have it for your desktop at home, or for, you know, Raya's version of maybe Flickr or something like that, you know, it'll automatically index what you upload, so you don't actually have to enter in who's in it. Plus, like, it'll say
what it should do is import your photos from Flickr automatically.
Yeah,
so you don't have to switch it over.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool.
But it doesn't do that yet.
So if you're listening, Raya, that would be cool. Plus, like, stuff like I thought of, like, mentioning, you know, social networking sites and all those will like love this as well, because, you know, you can then kind of, obviously probably people are in your photos are like friends, but like new people in the background and stuff.
Well, it only, you know, see, it only recognizes like up to 300 people that you enter. The software is not general enough to recognize anybody that it's seen before. It's like specific to you.
Alright, yeah. So,
but
smaller set.
You can search for people in other people's photos if other people have the same friends.
Yeah, so definitely you can
link
through people, you know. So definitely I think social networking sites, and certainly is home for the growing amount of digital photos you may have, and trying to find that one photo of, you know, a party you're at with a friend and you want that photo, and it's like, where is it? Where the heck is it among, you know, the mishmash of files that everyone has on their computer thrown all over the place. So I think it'll be pretty cool for that.
Yeah, you know? And it's interesting to see what they can do with vision technology.
It's very simple.
It's a
simple idea, but it's like recognizing people. It's just really handy.
Yeah, and you mentioned earlier, like, they could expand into places and stuff if they could recognize buildings or
stuff like that. Yeah, you could actually
index
that. That would allow you to index by location, because you recognize the building from a location.
Yeah.
And you go, oh yeah, or street signs or something like that. Fantastic. It's like, he was there! Oh my god, you were in Rome! You were having an affair!
No! Exactly. That's the use case they were thinking.
Yeah, there's the use case they were thinking of, definitely. So, slightly related was cutest kitten test.
Right.
Which was nice. This I liked. So, just briefly, if you go to any kind of website and you want to register at a website, or you want to enter a comment or something like this, there is a little thing beside your comment to verify that you're a human being, which is usually an image with text, numbers on it, and usually it's a font kind of mashed up and squiggled and laid on top of each other, which can be sometimes rather hard to read. You know, some of them can be very hard to read.
I wonder sometimes, are you human or not?
Yeah, exactly. You're like, you get them wrong sometimes. You know, even people get them wrong. And this guy was looking at a problem and he said, okay, yeah, those things are okay, but, you know, someone might or probably will eventually come up with a program which can actually read those as good as a human and get, you know, the guess is right a fair amount of the time, which will lead to a huge increase in the amount of comment spam and automatic, you know, registers, you know, programs that automatically register at websites and cause all kinds of things.
Damn you, spammers!
And general nasty people on the net. So, this guy was laying in bed and he was thinking, is there a better way? So, what he came up with was an idea where you would have this essentially a little grid of images, and you would pick out the images which are, say, there would be a bunch of kittens, and then there would be a bunch load of other furry animals, and you have to pick out which ones are kittens. So it was kind of taking advantage of something that people are able to do really well, which is like recognize the whole image of what it is, versus, you know, computers find that much, much harder. So he was kind of taking, you know, picking out one item from a bunch load of very similar items, you know, and going, yeah, that's definitely kicking. What's a kicking? A kitten, and not like a little furry puppy or a really hairy something. Something. You know? It's really hairy.
Don't click on that.
Really hairy.
Don't click on that.
So his idea was, obviously, you know, it sounds alright in principle, but, I mean, if it's one kitten out of three images, you know, then any of these automatic loggers, you know, have a 1 in 3 chance of getting it right, you know. So he was thinking, oh yeah, let's just ump up the number of images. But, you know, then it gets a little bit crazy because you'd be picking out like 27
pick out the 27 kittens
out of 1,084. You'd be like, ah, no second way, you can screw your comments. I'm not leaving it. So it's not quite perfect, but we like the idea. We definitely like the idea of,
yeah, if they had a good supply of kitten photos and other things that you could splice in, so it wasn't always the same photos.
Yeah.
See, otherwise the bad person could, or a bad program could learn probably.
Yeah, probably learn. It's just the whole problem of like having to have hundreds of photos thrown up there. It's just a bit nuts as well, because you're gonna have a whole chunk.
But if you could pull them in from Flickr or something.
Yeah. But you'd have the whole chunk of the website just taken up to do this one little thing of prove you're a human. It's like all the other websites you have to jump to, now prove you're a human, and then on to the next one. It's like, rather than, you know, you'd almost stick with the font thingy, you know, yeah, even if it doesn't work perfectly. So there's possibly a germ of a good idea there, but it needs a bit more work. But we like it, keep it up, keep going.
Yeah.
You're on to something.
Kittens are good.
We like kittens. Plus, like, the idea, you can actually customize it. So if you don't like kittens, you can have puppies. Jessica's gone again. It could be Jessica Alba's. It could be photos of Jessica Alba. You know? Versus other photos of less hot looking chicks. And you're like, which one's Jessica? I'll pick out the hot ones of Jessica Alba. And if you don't pick out the right ones, you're not allowed to comment.
You could have fun while you're proving your human.
Exactly. Anyway, I think that wraps up our stories for the week. So let's move on to our pimp of the media.
Okay. No? My media pimps. Well, the first one is the latest album by the Kleptones. And it's called 24 Hours, I think. And
hopefully we haven't listened to it yet. But I'm sure it's going to be damn good.
Yeah.
It's definitely worth a listen.
So go to Kleptones.com.
Yes.
And should get it there. And the other is a PS2 game called Shadow of the Colossus. I don't know if you've heard of this.
No.
It's the sequel to Ico, which you also probably haven't heard of.
Ico? No, I've heard of it. That was like, was it Ren the Dragon or something this year? Kind of mystical thing?
That's the Shadow of the Colossus. It's, you're not riding a dragon, but you're attacking these huge dragon things and big
furry animals. I've heard of Ico.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just confused this, that's why I'm...
Alright.
Oh, the last boss is so hard.
Many, many hours
spent.
But,
yeah, pick it up.
But not wasted, of course.
No.
Not wasted. It was all worth it.
practicing my
thumb movement.
Without that, I wouldn't be able to do it.
DRM hands.
DRM hands. Please get the thumb in.
DRM hands.
Anyway, compromise. Meet up him. Which includes Greg. I can't pronounce his name. Apodakis?
Sounds right.
Sounds right. Anyway, digital portfolio. Now, this guy specializes in photoshopping. And it's quite amazing what this guy can do. He's obviously a professional and he does this for a living. And it's showing some of his work of, like, photos taken by a photographer and professional photographer. And then he gets at it.
You'll never look at FHM. Same
or Maxim or any of them again, you'll just go, oh my god, because the link I put in there is of the girl, and frankly, after photoshopping, she's still not awesome, but maybe it's because I've just been so disgusted by what she looks like before. It's just
but you're comparing it to
ruined.
Let's get on there.
Actually, she was probably photoshopped as well. You couldn't touch it. Nah, she doesn't need photoshopping. Doesn't need it at all. She's just bounce off her, she's that hot. So, this guy photoshops things, and his work, he's truly, like, talented, but, like, you'll never look at any kind of fashion magazine again, or any of, like, those glossy magazines again, because, like, they must be photoshopped to hell and back, because he just gets really good, but, you know, what they started out with must have been horrible. He can truly really, like, take a person's face. Like, there's one of a blonde girl, and, like, literally, he creates another person.
Mm.
It's like two together. Oh, damn.
Carrie got that. Are we allowed to say that?
Yeah, well, say, like, one of them resembles Carrie Katona.
Is it the hot one or the not one?
The hot one or the not one? I think we're allowed to say it. It's
the not one.
It's the not one. Yeah. Still doesn't look great afterwards, but, like, before, it's like, oh my god, it's a different person. You wouldn't, it's like two different people. It's weird. It's really weird. And secondly, for all you nerds out there, how to pull an all-nighter. Very important skill. I had to use it this week. Well, actually, it didn't quite use it. I got 3 hours just before the exam. But still, it's a vital skill. You need to know it. Stay off the fatty foods. Keep the lights on. Brew the coffee. And eat at about 3 a.m. And then, remember, you're up Shit Creek. Get paddling. Actually, this might be useful for you, Gareth. Because you shouldn't be watching this. Go study. So, I think that wraps that up.